As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. An opinion so honest, it's just a matter of time before they get themselves in trouble. Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Now, we really do have to put out a kind of a best of Baseball Central. Just the stuff that's set off the air before we come on.
Would we be on the air ever if that happened?
No, we would be in trouble. It is Baseball Central, Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. White Sox beat the Blue Jays 4-0 last night. I was so not ready to have this type of a start to the season, to be honest. White Sox beat the Blue Jays 4-0 last night. Jays 10-13. They have today off. They start a three-game road trip in Tampa on Friday with Aaron Sanchez on the mound against Drew Smyly. They get to face Drew Smyly, Chris Archer, and Jake Odorizzi over the weekend. Again, first pitch is just after 7 o'clock on Sportsnet 590, The Fan of Sportsnet Ontario. Blue Jays Central, as always, at 6:30 p.m. on Sportsnet Ontario. And the Blue Jays talk with Mike Wilner will be immediately after the final horn. Final out, the final horn. I'm thinking of hockey on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Josh Donaldson, after last night's loss, again, 4-0 to the White Sox, he didn't call out the team. That would be being a little dramatic, I think. But he suggested the team needs to play better baseball, needs to be more aware on the base paths, made the obvious point. The team needs to hit more. But I think, Kevin, he really got to the crux of the issue when he said, look, Chris Sale is a great pitcher. Quintana is a great pitcher. There is no way in hell two lefties should be able to come in on back-to-back days and shove it up our ass the way the White Sox did. Not this lineup. Not at any time.
Can you disagree with what he said?
No.
I don't think you can. It's, you know.
And they're both good. They're both, don't get me wrong.
Well, sure they are. But I think the one thing he's talking about is the 16 strikeouts between the two guys. And Deonar Navarro,
by fastballs.
100%. Deonar Navarro basically had an approach of the 3 days. I'm going to go soft away and I'm going to go hard in. Well, how do I notice that? And guys that are great hitters like the Blue Jays, and especially the best named right-handed hitters in baseball, basically are having trouble doing that. That's the point he's getting at. I think if he basically he's saying you want to be the best of the best, you have to figure out ways to have you have to compete is the word he used a little bit better against guys like this, especially at home. You know, it's the Rogers Center. I heard about you earlier on your show saying something about home field advantage. Well, is there one now? Because with what he's saying is last year, if I told you that two left-handers, no matter what the name was on the back of their jersey, came in and pitched 14 innings and gave up 8 hits and 1 run and punched out 16, what would you say to me, Jeff?
I would have told you it was probably before the trade deadline.
Maybe. And you, that, well, that it would have been crazy for me to say it. Exactly. No. Right. So it's, I think.
But I wouldn't believe, right now, if you had said that that was going to happen with this lineup in April, I would have said no.
Yeah.
No chance.
Well, it's
not back to back.
I just think the approaches are not there right now. And for whatever reason that is, whether it's guys, individuals have gotten off to slow starts. You know, there's a lot of pressure. I've been since day one in spring training when I came on your show in spring training saying this is the best team in the American League and they're going to the World Series. Well, that's a lot of pressure. And certain guys handle pressure in different ways. And I just think your best player has came out basically and said, hey, we need to do better. We need to play better all the way around. It's, you want to be the best? Is it ever too early to start doing that? And I think that's what he's saying. It's the early thing, I think, is over for this team. I really do think it is. I think now you have to get back to what your strength is. If Russell Martin's strength is going middle the other way, keep the front shoulder in and try and do that. You compete better at that effort. And until they start doing that 1 through 9 and not 2 through 4, it's going to struggle like this, and they're not going to score as many runs as they did. It's, you can say what you want about the pitching. Mm-hmm. The American League East is about scoring runs. You know, everybody in the East, for the most part, besides Tampa Bay, are going to score a lot of runs. You want to win the East? You outscore people. And right now they're not doing that.
What do you, I mean, there's so many guys you could look at in this lineup, but the name that jumps out right now, based on watching him strike out 4 times last night, is Russ Martin. Now, we've seen a couple of signs, or we thought we saw a couple of signs, of Russ coming out of his early season funk. And one of them was that hit he got off Craig Kimbrel. Now, it's true, he did miss a couple of games because of...
Stiff neck. Right.
And, you know, you can just imagine, being a catcher, what it's like to be out there with a stiff neck. But even having said that, what are you seeing from Russ Martin right now? 4 strikeouts. Again, good pitching. I'm not taking that away from the White Sox at all. But come on.
Yeah, it's tough being 8 for 56 with 29 strikeouts. That I think that's, you know, your OPS is under 400. Yeah, I think it gets back to that. You know, I've been there. I don't know. 8 for 56 is a bigger slump. And at this level with the pitching you're facing on an everyday basis, on how – you know, they game plan to get you out, it's very tough. And now he's really going to have to go back to his strength. And all I see is a guy trying too hard, looks up at the scoreboard. You know, every field we go to, Jeff, has that giant scoreboard in one side or the other, right in front of the plate, right above the pitcher's head, so you can see you're hitting 143. Mm-hmm. And whenever you see that number, somehow Russell's going to have to block that out, not look at it, and think, how am I a good hitter? How did I hit 23 home runs here last year? Well, the way I did that is whenever I got a fastball, I put a good pass on it. I thought between the years, I think right center. I walk to the plate, I pick a spot out in right center field, and I try and make my swing go to that way and hit the ball in that spot. If he can do that consistently, whether he gets out or not, I think it's more of the way he's getting out. He goes up and he looks lost, mm-hmm. and the approach is just not there. Somehow he's going to have to simplify it, whether it's widen out more, whether it's try and use your hands more, whether it's think fastball and nothing else, whether it's moving the plate. I used to do that a lot. I used to move on the plate to make the ball look different, and you'd hit the ball in different places where your bat head, mm-hmm. meaning, you know, those balls you might hit foul late. All of a sudden, those are fair, and you just need one hit, whether it's a bloop hit, whether it's whatever the case is. The approach to me is just not there. He's pull happy. He wants to get out and snap hook everything, and the front side's leaking, and everybody's throwing him hard away. That's what it is. Hard away, fastball away, fastball away. You could see Deonor Navarro yesterday. He would look down at his feet. Mm-hmm. He would watch Russell swing one time, and then all he would do is put a fastball away. It's real simple. I mean, I just think that's what it is. Right now, listening to Josh Donaldson, 1 through 9, them competing and going up and having an idea of what they're doing, from what I understand him saying, is just not there. It's just not there every day when it should be there, and I think that's where the frustration's at. Can they do it? Of course they can. But it's going to have to start. Stay within yourself. Do what you can do. And not try and do too much. And when they do start doing that, it's sort of like a trickle-down effect. Everybody wants to be like the guy in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
But until they start doing that, and you got to remember, 6 with the Rays, 3 with the Dodgers, 3 with the Giants, and 7 with the Rangers. Well, I just heard Mark Shapiro on. He said 40 games. Well, 19, that's right at about 40.
I'm glad that you mentioned that, actually. Derek, I just, if we could pull up, Mark Shapiro's comments to Stephen Brunt and myself about the bullpen. I'll address it later in the show, but I want to talk about our conversation with Mark Shapiro today. And one of the points that I think Stephen and I both came away, you know, caring from the conversation, Kevin, was that the bullpen, which is an obvious area of concern again last night, that Mark Shapiro has taken a look, or that there's some thought being given to doing something in the bullpen. And when I asked him, so far, would your focus be internally? He said, I can't equivocally say sure. that. I still think it is early, but you know, it's scary to see literally a bullpen full of guys that can't get a strikeout right now, other than your closer. And they can't get a strikeout.
Okay, let me ask you the first question.
When does it stop being early?
Because we just Mark mentioned
40 games.
Right.
Is when he kind of starts looking at things. I've said all along, I don't look at the standings until the end of May. I don't look at them until the end of May. I'm one of those people, you know, the major league season is split into three parts. You know, the first 60 games are sort of seeing what you got. The next 60 are trying to address that. And then, you know, however you want to word it, probably sure. Split it up wrong. And then the final 40 is, okay, now you've addressed what you need. The final 40 is a stretch drive. You go towards the playoffs with the team that you have. So, I honestly don't worry about it until May. But again, when I look at this bullpen, you know, it's one thing to have one guy scuffling, another guy scuffling, and this guy's not on tonight, and this guy's not on tonight. You know, then you go, okay, well, John Gibbons has to basically sit there and decide, okay, which of these four guys can I use right now to get me an out? Well, hell, he can't do that right now.
That's right.
He ain't got anybody to get him an out. And even Jesse Chavez was pretty good. And you know, even Jesse Chavez is pretty good. I mean, he's still – I never thought I'd be sitting here on, what is it, April 28th, and saying the two relievers I have the most confidence in are Roberto Osuna. That's fine. Mm-hmm. And Jesse Chavez. I never thought I'd be saying that. Let's play the clip from Mark Shapiro earlier today.
It's a work in progress. We need to give guys time to settle in, get comfortable, see if they can get in a rhythm and see if they can make adjustments. But at some point, when it comes to bullpens, you just don't have just quite the same dependability and reliability as like a position player who has a track record of hitting. And everything says that even if he goes through a prolonged slump for the first 6-8 weeks of the season, he's still going to progress at some point and hit. Bullpen is not quite as certain.
Mm. That was Mark Shapiro talking about the, why don't we play the other, because he talked about it twice. Let's hear this other one.
Bullpen is an area that is constantly a work in progress and, you know, almost always needs to be adjusted and tweaked as the season goes along. It's the least consistent, reliable area of building a major league team from year to year.
That is Mark Shapiro talking about tweaking, fixing the bullpen, I guess. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I asked him about Aaron Sanchez. And again, I never thought in April 28th I'd be talking about Aaron Sanchez. And, you know, right now they want Aaron Sanchez to start, but he didn't shut the door on it.
Yeah, I think it's a tough sell for Aaron Sanchez.
He didn't want the organization to be a yo-yo organization.
How can you do it? How can you go to Aaron Sanchez when he's gotten off to a good start and say, hey, it's more about the team than it is about you? It's real hard.
Yeah.
It'd be a tough sell.
Yeah. Third year in a row, about the team.
Would you do it? Yeah, no. It'd be tough. It'd be tough to have that conversation. No, be like, yeah, I'm on board for that. No, it's about feeding your family and getting that done first and this team second. Well, let's say it the way it is. To me, when I listened to him, and I listened to him on the drive-in this morning when I was, you know, that live thing, it was, to me, that was a nice way of saying my patience is about to run thin. Mm-hmm. That's the way I took it. Yeah. Now, that may be not how everybody took it, but I can say this. I think they came into this season basically saying, well, we're good enough to never slump. We're good enough. This team is good enough. Yeah, every once in a while you have your little hiccup where one guy just, you know, is hanging breaking balls and can't, you know, is having some arm troubles and doesn't feel right. But for the most part, our team's good enough on paper to not have 10 and 13 starts. So I think it's, to me, the way I understood that in a very nice way, and, you know, he's a pretty good talker, saying, hey, it's my patience is about to run out here and we're going to make moves sooner than later. It's the harsh reality of being in the big leagues, man. It's, you know, it's he was basically saying that sometimes you know, in the bullpen, your years don't carry over. Mm-hmm. 1 year you may be really good. The next year doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be really good again. So, you know, it's the harsh reality of being on a team that's expected to win and win today.
Well, I think, Kevin, what it also reinforces is, you know, in case anybody'd forgotten it, it also reinforces the fact that this is a new management team. And, you know, I'm sure they have some preconceived notions about these players based on what they thought of these players in Cleveland. But there is a lot of, or I should say there's at least an element of, okay, we're going to sit back, show me what you guys have. Because I wasn't here last year. I know you guys won last year. Sure. I know that. But I want to see how you guys respond to having won last year. And I think there may be an element of that with Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins. They're saying, you know, let's just stand back. Let's see how this plays
out. Basically, he's saying that until 40 games. 40 games is basically the line where he says, I'm going to watch for 40 games. I'm not going to say a whole lot. Mm-hmm. And then when 40 games comes,
that's what I think.
That's when I'm going to step in, and it's either we're going one direction or we're going the other direction.
Yeah, and I don't know if you can necessarily – I don't want people to assume that he means that after 40 games, if they're 20 or 19 and 21 or whatever it is, he's going to tear the team apart.
Well, he's going to be making big decisions in, like, the bullpen or something like that. Yeah. It doesn't mean he's breaking the team down.
Right.
But he's – sometimes you have to make tough decisions. And, you know, I think it's one of those years is there a David Price in the waiting? I don't think so. I think this is – you know, it's not the trade deadline where you're going to go out and get a David Price. I don't think it's that way this year.
Right.
So how do you you know, I think he's thinking within right now 1 through 25 – they should be a lot better than 10 and 13. Yep. You should be able to work your way through enough slumps to get it done. And why aren't they? That's the big question. Why aren't they hitting? Why aren't they getting outs when they have to get them? Why aren't they?
The Jays have lost 6 of their last 8. And the other thing Mark Shapiro said, which, you know, we've talked about in this show and I've talked about in my show and other people have talked about, I know Wilner's talked about it a lot. If you look at the American League East, Baltimore's 12-8, Boston's 12-9. Tampa's 10-11, Toronto's 10-13, the Yanks are 8-12. There isn't, if there is a good thing here, it's not only isn't there a dominant team in the American League East right now, but if you remove the Chicago White Sox from the equation, there's a whole lot of teams playing around. I'm looking at 400, 476, 571, 526, 524, a couple of 500 teams. Like, this league is going to beat itself to death this
now,
year.
No, you don't think
it's
Mark's
beat itself to
you
death.
You don't think Mark Shapiro's looked at that and went, huh, well, there's a couple of ways I could look at this. On paper, we're probably the best team in baseball. Why aren't we blowing this league up already?
Hmm?
Why are we not? Point. Because of the reasons why you just said Baltimore's what they are. You know, everybody's not getting off the hot starts. Well, right. If the Blue Jays were somewhat okay, they'd run away with this league. The American League East, they'd run away with it, right?
Yep.
You can say that?
Ryan Tepera was called up yesterday. He's a right-hander with reverse splits. Gave up 2 hits, a run in an inning. I know his peripherals are okay. I don't know. Ryan Tepera to me is just a guy. But he gave up, as I said, 2 hits and a run in an inning. Jesse Chavez gave up a hit. Again, the inherited runner situation with this team is not very good. The Jays also, in case you're interested, were 0-for-8 with runners in scoring position. They left 7 on. They had a couple of chances, I thought, in that game to maybe do a little bit of damage. Not major chances, but, you know, they had men on base. I'm thinking in particular of, was it the 6th inning? 5th inning, where they had Goins was on 2nd and Donaldson was on 1st after a Donaldson single. And Batista struck out. I mean, they had a couple of chances where they could have, you know, as John Gibbons said later, Kevin, just put a ball in play. If they'd put a ball in play in a couple of those occasions, they might have been able to do something.
Well, the White Sox had 5 strikeouts. The Blue Jays had 13.
Right.
You know, that's 8 more chances to get a hit and do something good for your team. It gets down to that. I mean, let's face it, 217 strikeouts and 757 at-bats. That's 28.5% of the time you're punching out.
Now, and there's, Kevin, there's going to be a lot, there were a lot of people, I know there were a lot of people in Twitter, and I'm sure there are people today as well, who, you know, looked at at John Gibbons' decision with Marco Estrada, and, you know, they're saying, why would you let Estrada face Deonor Navarro, Navarro tripled? You know, my argument to that was, well, the batter before, Avisail Garcia, he struck out with his best changeup of the game.
Sure.
Like, at that point, and also if I'm a manager who doesn't have confidence in his bullpen, I'm going to let Marco Estrada go after another guy.
Well, your bullpen's 19 out of 37 inherited runners given up. That's one of the reasons. Second reason is Marco Estrada got beat with his best pitch. That's his changeup. 0-2 count to Deonor Navarro. Mm-hmm. He gives up that triple. You can handle getting beat with your best pitch. It's his best pitch. And you just got beat by a guy that – understood what the situation was and understood what he was going to get in a certain count and put a good swing on it. Right now, the White Sox are a better team. You can say it any other way you want to. Right now, the White Sox are pitching better, playing better defense, running the bases better, and getting timely hits better.
We'll have a couple of games on Sportsnet today. The A's and the Tigers at 1 o'clock on Sportsnet 1. The Braves, my God, they're awful. Against the Red Sox at 7 p.m. on Sportsnet 360. Cliff Floyd, one of our favorites, an MLB analyst for the MLB Network, joining us now in Baseball Central. Good morning, Mr. Floyd.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
So, let me ask you this. Josh Donaldson, after yesterday's game, last night's game, he didn't really call out the team, but he said we got to play better baseball, got to make smarter decisions in the base paths. And he said, most importantly, there's no way, I don't care how good the left-handers are, there's no way two left-handed pitchers should be able to come in and shut us down in consecutive days. Okay, one of them's Chris Sale, you tip your cap there. But there's no way that this team should be shut down in consecutive days by left-handed hitters. What type of an impact does that have in a clubhouse when a guy speaks like that to the press?
Oh, I think it speaks wonders, especially when you have a guy like him saying it, who, you know, who's not afraid to speak his mind and can speak his mind because he lives up to the hype. And moving forward, they do have to play better. I was at the game last night, JB, and it was rumblings in the crowd, and I'm watching Quintana go out there and do what he do. And I mean, he's pumping 93 mile an hour fastballs to the point where from the seats you can't see the action. So I went up and watched it on the monitor, and they're taking pitches I've never seen them before. So I don't know if it's in their head now or whatever the case may be, but when you have a guy like Josh Donaldson, you know, speak up and sort of go out there on a limb, you know, it's basically just saying, hey, let's wake up. Now, could he have said it to the boys and not to the press? Of course. But, you know, maybe a question was asked and he answered accordingly.
Cliff, you know, the one guy for me, the big three with Batista, Donaldson, and Encarnacion, you know, they're going to be the big three. And then, you know, when Edwin starts getting hot and they put four fingers up and Troy Tulowitzki is going to have to come to the plate. And he's been here 60-plus games. Obviously, it's not in a row. It was some when he came here after the trade deadline and in the start of this season. We sit here and try to analyze, and I try to analyze, and unless you're in a video room and can slow it down and see exactly what he's doing wrong, every time he takes a swing, to me, it looks exactly the same. Like, he's never out on his front foot. He's never late. His swing looks exactly the same. What are you seeing from him?
You know what? That's a great question. I watching him, I mean, I'm more watching his reactions after he strikes out or after he hits a ball. I think he thought he hit the ball last night better than he did to center field. But his reactions after the fact lets me believe he's lost just as well as we lost. And that's never a good thing, because when you're out there in the battle and you've been really good, when you've been healthy, you expect greatness. You expect, you know, things to fall into place. You expect results, good ones. And, you know, it's just not happening. And you know, he don't look confused. He just looks like, you know, the ball coming off the bat is just not what we saw of the old Tulowitzki in Colorado. So, you know, maybe it takes a little bit longer. You know, the thing with these guys, when you're trying to break them down, is you have to sort of, like you said, okay, buy into the track record, buy into that these guys have been good for a long time when healthy and when everything is clicking. But every once in a while, you run into a buzzsaw. Every once in a while, you run into these guys who can challenge you now and not be afraid to throw their fastballs and not make as many mistakes. Because before, and talking about last year, they were so afraid to make mistakes that they made a ton of them. Now it's like, oh, you want to take that inner half fastball, or you swing and miss at the fastball up. You're giving these guys more and more confidence, and you get guys at the bigger level of confidence, they're going to exploit them.
Now, Cliff, the biggest thing I took away from Josh Donaldson was, and I quote, he says, I want to see guys up there competing, doing everything they can to help the team be successful. Now, 217 strikeouts and 757 at-bats. Is that a worry? Because, I was the first guy to say that the Blue Jays are the best team in the American League, and they're going to score more runs than anybody, and they're going to be in the World Series. But is 217 strikeouts a worry? I'm not the guy that wants to say it's early, But I guess in the standings and how many games you played, it is early. Is 217, is that a big number or does that matter?
No, it matters, especially with this team, especially when you have their, you know, when you look at their track record and what they've been able to do collectively as a group. Oh, yeah, it's concerning. I mean, is it doom? No. But when you talk about what we've seen and what we consistently, you know, look forward to watching with these guys, is these guys putting six, seven, you know, runs up on the board. The pitchers go out there, they cruise, they feel good. That's not happening. And, you know, they're all human. So with the human element, as you know, you start to press. You start to feel the pressure of, I got to go up here and, you know, I'm missing my pitch. Why am I missing my pitch? So it's concerning to that fact. You know, but when you talk about supporting cast, you know, Smoke, Goins, Colabello's out now with the suspension. I mean, that used to be where you looked at and go, well, the supporting cast just made this lineup really deep. That's not doing this job yet. Then you have Russ and Tulo struggling. And then the big three, as you mentioned, are you know, swinging and missing. Josh Donaldson's been off the charts, of course. I think Gibby's trying to, you know, find a leadoff guy. Pilar wasn't the guy for him swinging too much in the leadoff spot. Put Michael Saunders there. You see where I'm going? There's so much going on that is not what we've seen. So you start to be concerned at what point do they start to panic as a group.
You know, Cliff, Josh Donaldson, you mentioned his start, and I think with all the concern about the bullpen and everything right now, in some ways that start is overlooked a little bit. You know, I watch Donaldson. It's like every game I come away thinking, man, he did something there that I haven't seen him do before, or you know, he just made some sort of adjustment. Where is he in your mind right now? As you go around baseball, where do you put him when you look at the real elite hitters in the game?
He's on another level, JB. He is. I mean, his approach, his swing path, his confidence, everything that you look at in a complete player is Josh Donaldson. He comes to the post every day with a mindset to be great. And watching his just his run down to first base on a walk, watching him walk up to the plate, listening to him in the offseason talk about, you know, his swing path for an hour in a rain delay at a golf event in Orlando. I'm telling you, the passion this dude brings, you can never take for granted his conversation or his press conference yesterday or whatever. Because when you talk about a guy that comes to play every night, Josh Donaldson is that guy. I want 15, 20 of him on my team every day and going out there on the field every day with the same, you know, passion, with the same competitive, you know, nature, attitude, all those things that you want. Because that's the way I play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to destroy you every time I touch the field. I want to beat you down. You can't have base running blunders, as we saw with the ball to right field yesterday with Tulo not going to third base. Those things can't happen. And I'm not singling out Tulo, but when he talks about coming to the post every day, that's what he's talking about. Hey, you know what? We can't make mental mistakes when we're not pounding the baseball like we've been in the past. We're a team that can make, you know, some adjustments on the fly. And it's not happening now, and he's frustrated. So I can definitely understand where he's coming from. But to your point, he's an absolute beast, and I want him every day and every night.
The White Sox have won six in a row. They are, along with the New York Mets, the hottest teams in baseball right now, both of them having won six games in a row. Do the White Sox, do they have what it takes, do you think, to keep this up? You know, do they have what it takes to win that division?
That's a great question as well. I think anytime you win and you have guys that's been around, like a Jimmy Rollins, you get an upgrade over there at third base and Todd Frazier. Navarro is just a mindset, IQ really high for catching the pitchers and getting them to not think and just throw the ball where his glove is. You saw him Adame last night with even, you know, 4-0 lead, 4-0 win, and he's talking to Dave Robertson, you know, after the game. And having a conversation about something. It didn't look like he was in a good mood after 4-0 win. You know, just that mentality. And then Robin Ventura letting these guys play, because it was set up to be a disaster in spring training. with Alan LaRoe's situation. Mm-hmm. But having guys like J-Roll and having guys like Todd Frazier to sort of calm the waters and allow the team to grow and get through some adversity, I mean, anything can happen. You look at the bullpen, it's set up pretty nicely. You know, I mean, you saw Zach Duke come in the seventh inning. Robin Ventura has everything lined up to be really competitive. I think Rick Hahn did a great job in going out and sort of bringing in a big bat and Frazier, and then allowing that rotation to sort of, you know, fill, you know, it's kind of tough, but just allowing the rotation to sort of figure itself out. Mm-hmm. They didn't get anything from John Danks. I think they'll be fine, but like, you know, that division is so tough to call right now. They will be competitive. They will challenge the teams because they have the guys in the locker room to do that.
Now, Cliff, we talk about managers, and are they a big deal, and do they really matter? Well, Joe Maddon in Chicago, obviously that matters there. They're winning. They're having fun. You know, he does all the things off the field to make his team fun because they're a young team, and, you know, that's what he has to do. And then you look at the Washington Nationals, and last year everybody picked them. Hey, their starting rotation's off the charts, and then they had an awful year. And then Dusty Baker comes in, and they're 14-6, and they're in first place. So my question to you is, does a manager matter that much?
I say yes. I really do. The mindset, the conversation with the players in the locker room, allowing your star to be himself, leaving him the heck alone, putting a lot of confidence in young pitchers like Joe Ross, having a guy like Steven Strasburg in his walk year who wants to go out there and prove that he's a beast. Yeah, Dusty, talking to him at the winter meetings in Nashville this offseason, you know, Dusty, I mean, I didn't really talk. I listened for 2 hours. And this man, the knowledge that he spoke was off the charts, just about baseball, just about outside the game, how the game has evolved. How you have to go with the swag factor today and allow these kids to grow up, and why Bryce Harper's going to be a star, and why he didn't, you know, challenge to get rid of a guy like Papelbon, who challenged your superstar on the field in the dugout and in the view of all of us. I mean, it takes a guy like Dusty. And look, Matt Williams, whether we like it or not, just wasn't cut out for that situation over in D.C. But I saw Matt Williams in spring training with the Diamondbacks, and he looked great doing the gig that he was doing. Mm-hmm. Infield drills, getting these guys motivated in the morning at 7:00. We didn't see that with the Nationals. I just look at Dusty Baker right now and go, wow. I mean, Bryce Harper, look, he's having fun. Jason Worth is healthy. Anthony Rendon hasn't even hit stride yet. But when he gets going, everything sort of, when you hear out of camp that we just we'll go through a brick wall for Dusty Baker. That to me says and speaks volume. So I would 100% say yes.
Yeah, and I think if you saw the footage of that dugout when they had that extra inning game where Bryce Harper gets up and pinch hits, and then he's got the hoodie wrapped around him and he's hugging Dusty, and Dusty's like laughing and pushing him like, get away from me.
Yeah,
you know.
You know what I'm saying, JB? That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, who's on the top step like that? But other than Dusty, with the toothpick in his mouth, chilling like.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's what they like. And it's right up Bryce Harper's alley. I mean, it's right up his alley.
It's perfect. Cliffy, we're going to let you run. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, thanks, Cliff.
No doubt. Thanks for having me, fellas.
Cliff Floyd of the MLB Network. And, yeah, I love that. I mean, Dusty with the toothpick and the wristbands.
Hey, he's hungry, and he tells you like it is. I played for him in Cincinnati. He's when he's motivated, and whenever he talks, people listen. And, you know, I think you forget in San Francisco, he managed one of the best players ever.
Yeah.
And that carries over to Bryce Harper.
Well, for the most part, I mean, he somehow made it all work. Now, they didn't. It took Bruce Bochy to get them the World Series ring. But there were a lot of managers who would not have been able to handle the whole situation with Barry Bonds. So we're going to have to be careful because you don't want to have a Dusty loving all the time.
Sometimes you tell it like it is.
Yeah,
I mean, it's working. It's working until it's not working, then.
And, you know, it's funny. When he was – I know we're up against the clock here, but I'll tell a very quick story. I don't know if I've told it before. But when he was out of work, I ran into him. He was doing some broadcasting for somebody. And I ran into him during one of the postseason gigs, whatever it was, ALCS, NLCS. And I'm trying to remember the year, but he started talking about managing the Blue Jays. And this was, I don't know if they just finished, if it was the year after Cito had taken over, had come back and taken over, whatever. But it was interesting hearing him talk about wanting to manage again, because a lot of us just thought that Dusty, once the Giants thing was done, Dusty was going to be done. But he is very much, he's very much a baseball lifer. And it's just, it was interesting because he was, at one point, and I don't know if contacts were made, but at one point he was interested in coming and managing here. And it was like about a 30-minute conversation just asking about Toronto, and he always liked the city. But anyhow, we appreciate Cliff Floyd joining us. It's Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. Lots ahead when we return on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right, welcome back to Baseball Central. Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. It is a Thursday. It is April 28th. No Jays baseball tonight. They are in Tampa, where they will start a three-game series against the Rays on the weekend. First game is Friday. Aaron Sanchez still in the rotation. I'm just kidding with you. Aaron Sanchez on the mound for the Blue Jays. Drew Smyly for the Tampa Bay Rays. First pitch just after 7 on Sportsnet 590. The Fan of Sportsnet Ontario. Blue Jays Central with Campbell and Zons at 6:30 p.m. on Sportsnet Ontario. But we will have baseball today on Sportsnet. The A's and the Tigers at 1 p.m. on Sportsnet 1. Chris Bassett against Anibal Sanchez. And the god-awful Atlanta Braves are at the Red Sox, 7 p.m. on Sportsnet 360. Julius Chesine, close enough, be on the mound for the Braves. Clay Buchholz, greasy Clay Buchholz, will be on the mound for the Boston
What's wrong with you?
Red Sox. He is greasy, a slimy guy.
You butchered that name, and you were talking about some guy's hair.
Whatever the hell it is. Anthony Castrovinci, a friend of ours at Sports on Earth, also writes for MLB.com, has put together a list of players who've had slow starts this year and essentially telling you why you shouldn't worry about it. No, Russ Martin isn't on the list. I don't know what that means, but he isn't. Joey Votto is one of them. I want to ask you about this, Kevin. Joey Votto is hitting 205, got a 604 OPS. This is a great quote. This is Joey Votto to the Cincinnati Inquirer. Quote, "My swing is a fine piece of machinery. Everybody wants to rush the Ferrari, but it comes out every 4 to 6 years."
That's awesome. Well, I can't, when I used to play, I used to swing like a Pinto with some souped up rims on it on occasion. So I have no idea about the Ferrari part of it. But hey, I think basically what it comes down to is he's saying, I'm not on that good of a team. I'm the best hitter on it. When you go and game plan to the Reds, what do? You pitch around one guy if you're going to beat him. That's the guy. And, sometimes you get tired of getting pitched around. So you might go outside of the box a little bit and try to do too much. And I'm sure that's what he's doing right now. But, hey, I played with him. He's a pretty good hitter. He's figured it out from the shoulders up. And I don't expect anything different this year from him.
It is kind of interesting, as Anthony points out, his plate discipline numbers are still in line with 2015. The difference is that he's seeing first pitch strikes more frequently this year. Considerably more frequently, but 11% of the time more, which has led to more 0-1 counts. His 0-1 count so far is 51.1% of plate appearances against 24-9 last year. So, yeah, he is.
So if you're a great hitter, what do? If you read that stat, you go up and swing at the first pitch.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's I've said it all along at this level. It's not about mechanics anymore. It's a mental thing because their mechanics that good. That's why they're here. They can consistently, most of the time, fix things before they turn into really, really bad things. Well, reading that stat, what do? Go up, look fastball, first pitch, put it in play.
And the next time that somebody tells you that good pitchers, it really doesn't matter what park they play in. Zach Greinke, last year at Dodger Stadium, gave up 19 runs the entire season.
That's awful.
This year at Chase Field, 18 already.
You think if Clayton Kershaw was on that team pitching ahead of him, it would matter? You think that has anything to do with it?
I don't know. The interesting thing is when he was with the Dodgers, he made 6 starts in this ballpark in Chase Field, and his ERA was 0.65. Anyhow.
Off to a slow start, maybe.
There are a lot of
It's early.
It's early. Lorenzo Cain, David Price. He struck out 14 Braves in 8 innings Wednesday night. We all know that. Entering Thursday, it's kind of interesting. Entering Thursday, only one qualified pitcher in the majors, that would be the Padres, Drew Pomeranz, was allowing a lower rate of contact than David Price, which is 65.8% of the swings. 8 of the 30 hits Price has allowed this season came in just 2 innings. This is funny. 8 of the 30 hits Price has allowed this season came in just 2 innings, the 4th on April 5th and the 4th inning on April 21st. So, there are a lot of guys out there. Jose Fernandez, Miguel Cabrera, Lorenzo Cain has not had a great start to the year at all. Jose Fernandez, I mentioned, Miguel Cabrera, again, and Zach Greinke, Kyle Seager, Anthony Rendon of the Washington Nationals. It's surprising the Nationals are where they are without him smoking the ball, because I thought he was going to be a real, and I still think he'll be really crucial to that team's ability to maintain or to sustain long-term success. But there you go. So it's not just the Blue Jays. It's not just the Blue Jays are off some of their hitters are off to slow start. What does an off day do for a hitter?
Sometimes it makes it worse. I think when you're struggling, you need to get right back on the horse, so to speak. But, you know, when your entire team, besides a couple of guys, are struggling, a day off may be good. Who knows what it's going to do to this team and if it even matters because of who they're facing the next 3 days. And I'm sure they're sitting around going, hey, I'm 8 for whatever I am. And now I got to face the next 3 guys I got to face. You know, I think, again, it gets back to go to your strength. If your strength's going middle the other way, figure out ways to get the front shoulder in there, try and hit balls middle the other way, make good contact, put the ball in play. You do that, you're going to have a lot more success than you are if you don't put the ball in play. Captain Obvious here. But, you know, I think – and maybe it's this way too. Maybe a day off – you try and forget about it. Forget about that you're a professional baseball player. Just walk away from the game, go to a movie, do something else other than think about a baseball game. It's very hard to do. It's very hard to do, but try and do that. The ones that succeed a lot do that easier than ones that don't. Because I was one that had real trouble on a day off in AAA when I was whatever I was and I couldn't hit a ball off a tee. I couldn't stop thinking about it.
What are you going to do in AAA that isn't illegal? In a lot of those cities, on a day off. Sleep.
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 You're something.
What would be an off day? What would you do in an off day in, let's see, Louisville? Let's say that you were in Toledo. What would you do in an off day in Toledo?
Well, there's absolutely nothing to do in Toledo, so I would order room service, order a movie I probably shouldn't order, and...
What's a good trip? Seriously, a good AAA city. Road city to have a day.
Indianapolis is good. Louisville, Kentucky's good.
Louisville's great. Yeah.
I didn't play in a lot of PCL leagues. I heard those are really, really good.
Nashville can't be a bad place to
I'm
have
sure
an off
that's
day.
Not very. Yeah, I'm sure that's really good too. It's, you know,
you find stuff to do.
You do. It's not hard. You know, you do all right money wise. You can go eat a nice meal and forget about baseball. It's hard to do. I couldn't do it.
Mr. Barker, thank you for doing this. You'll be back tomorrow.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having me. God, you're on the show. You got paid for this. Barker will be back tomorrow. So will Stephen Brunt. The Jeff Blair Show, 9 to 11, then Baseball Central from 11 to 12. And we'll have Barker's Bundesliga picks tomorrow. Don't want to miss that. Get your wallets out. Have a great day, everybody. Hockey Central's next.